scripture readings this morning are from Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 7 through 11 from the Message, and then I'll continue with verses 12 and 13 for the Common English Bible. I brought you to a garden land where you could eat lush fruit, but you barged in and polluted my land, trashed and defiled my dear land. The priests never thought to ask, where's God? The religion experts knew nothing of me. The rulers defied me. The prophets preached God Baal and chased empty God demon dreams and silly God schemes. Because of all this, I'm bringing charges against you, God's decree, charging you and your children and your grandchildren. Look around. Have you ever seen anything quite like this? Sail to the Western Islands and look. Travel to the Kedar Wilderness and look. Look closely. Has this ever happened before? That a nation has traded in its gods for gods that aren't even close to gods? But my people have traded my glory for empty God dreams and silly God schemes. Be stunned at such a thing, you heavens. Shudder and quake, declares the Lord. My people have committed two crimes. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug wells, broken wells that can't hold water. Herein ends the readings this morning.
And from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, asks a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked me, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water in the well will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me that water so I may never be thirsty again. Now the words that Laura read from Jeremiah were written in a time of great trial. It was in a land of abundant rivers and seas. So I thought it was a little puzzling that he talks about broken wells. But Jeremiah is reminding the people that God has brought them out of bondage from Egypt into liberation, and that they've forgotten to be grateful. Jeremiah's words were written to a people living in places that we now call Iraq, Kuwait, Lebanon, Israel, Palestine. We don't think of that. These were actual places that we know. Places where today those in power have turned away from liberation toward a mindset of domination of the people. A place in the world where fear for radical factions is growing, and defiling of the earth is an everyday thing. I can't imagine how their landscape must look after so much warfare. They don't have the opportunity to go out and water the lawn. Bombs are being dropped and creating craters. So Jeremiah is writing as a prophet. And the prophet's job is always to call people back to faithfulness. And in simple terms, this means calling them to seek the God who brought them liberation. liberation to the nation of Israel from our Hebrew scriptures, calling them to faithfulness to of the Anointed One, the one we call Jesus, the one who promised the Samaritan woman living water. Promised, too, through that living water, liberation from oppression of the Roman government. Now, I know that Jeremiah isn't really talking about shortages of drinking water. He's talking in metaphors. He's talking about broken wells, and Jesus is also talking in metaphors when he says living water. But I want to tie that back to living water today. How can we help deliver physical water and living water to other people? How can we, as we celebrate Earth Day, which is this coming Wednesday, how can we celebrate being living water for other people, perhaps through physical drinking water? Water that they need from the tap or from a pump or from a well to quench their thirst, to cook, and to clean. I think in many ways we followed some of those God schemes and silly God dreams that Laura read about, in ways in our own lives that create shortages for other people in the world. We're very blessed here in Michigan. None of us live more than 6 miles from an inland lake or stream. And none of us live more than 85 miles from one of the Great Lakes. Water in Michigan is everywhere. Step outside our doors here and crank your head left and you see beautiful Lake Cadillac before you. We perhaps take water for granted here in Michigan. At my house, almost every window I look out, I look at a little, beautiful 33-acre spring lake, which is connected to 2 other lakes. I'm surrounded by water. It supports life of loons and herons and fish, geese, cranes, turtles, and frogs. And we may take those resources for granted and just turn on the tap and not think about it. Yet I know that the cycle of life at my little spring lake has changed because the song of the frogs is a lot quieter than it was when we moved there 8 years ago. The children lament that when they go looking for frogs, they can't find them. So I know there's something very sadly wrong with the ecological system right outside my front door. So am I following silly God dreams and silly schemes that are creating changes in the environment in my own backyard? Or maybe I'm doing things that are affecting water far away. And what can I do to fix my behaviors? And what can you do to tweak yours? Can I somehow be a prophet, calling my family and other people back to caring for the earth in a way that will make a difference, that will promote better water health at my lake, in my city, in my state, in my nation? In Genesis, the story tells us that humans are given dominion over the earth. And I know that for a lot of evangelicals, it makes it easy for them. Oh, God gave us charge of it, and God will take care of it, and it doesn't matter. But I don't think that's what the dominion word means. In Hebrew, the word is radah, and it means to rule or reign, but it doesn't have any violent connotations. It doesn't have a control in a powerful way. I think it's more of a benevolent ruler. But I think that humanity's dominion over the earth has been anything but benevolent. Right now, California is facing the worst drought in 1,200 years. 1,200 years. a drought that scientists tie to climate change. And whether you accept that climate change is man-made or not, the drought is very real. So much so that the governor has mandated that homeowners cut their water use by 25%. From a Canadian news article, because they get a lot of their produce from California, farmers have so far been exempt from the governor's mandated water use. They buy their water, so there's water out there, but the farmers are getting it all. How long before that trickles down to my grocery store shelf where I'm now paying $20 for a bag of apples? The largest almond crop in the world grows in California. It's going to trickle this way. So how is it that I can do something different to make a difference to California? Well, I think one of the ways that I can be living water, that you can be living water in response, is to grow your own produce. And you may roll your eyes and think, I'm too old, I'm too lazy, I live in an apartment. I get that. I'm getting too old and a little too lazy. But I can go to my local farmer's market. Twofold ways of being living water. I'm supporting a local family that their livelihood comes from the soil. Produce is not traveling 1,500 miles to get to my plate. And I'm not causing more farmers in California to use more water that isn't there. So maybe it's one way we can be living water. Because there is enough water here in Michigan for us to water our gardens, for our local farmers to water their gardens. I did a little digging about Detroit. I don't know if many of you remember, but a year ago, people in Detroit were having their water turned off to the point where these were families going without water. Yet the golf courses owned by the city and the parks were still allowed to use as much water as they wanted. Their bills were not being paid either. The water was being shut off because there are a lot of families that can't afford to pay their water bills. Yet the parks and the golf courses were green and remain green. This problem is still ongoing. They're still shutting people's water off, and the golf courses are still green. So how can you be living water in this instance? Detroit's the other side of the state, and do you really care? Well, there is a way. There's a website called Help Water Detroit, I think is what it's called. And you can actually get on there, see me afterwards, and you can help pay someone's water bill directly. You don't send the money to the person, you send the money to the water department. And they will apply it to a family that's having trouble paying their water bill. You can help be living water for a family in Detroit that is sending their kids to school not having washed behind their ears because they don't have tap water. Globally, every 21 seconds, a child dies from water-related illnesses. Their cooking water, their cleaning water, their drinking water isn't clean. From Kenya, Mati Kaku tells the story of her community in eastern Kenya after one great hour of sharing's dollars supported a sand dam. She recalls that the people in Magamblu went hungry because they didn't have enough water to cook their food. Think about it. Every time you cook, you rinse your produce, you put water in the pot to cook your spaghetti, you put a little bit of water underneath your fish to poach them a little bit. No water. The primary school didn't have classrooms because they didn't have water to make the bricks to make the classroom. The children missed school because they had to trot to the river miles away to get a bucket of filthy water for their family to use for the day. Young girls and women were at risk for sexual assault on their way to and from the river, getting that filthy water. So when the people were first approached about constructing a sand dam by One Great Hour of Sharing, they were excited. So they gathered materials, and in addition to what they had locally and donated, they built the dam. So today, your One Great Hour of Sharing dollars have children in school because they were able to build the bricks to make a classroom and dig a well with the sand dam so that the kids aren't going to the river for filthy water all day. Ms. Cuckoo expressed her gratitude for One Great Hour Sharing's donation. This will be remembered for generations to come. So you can be living dollars by writing a big fat check and putting it in that envelope. Or a little check. Every quarter, every dollar makes a difference. Charity Water is another one. I have a story about a woman named Mulatani Yesaya. She was the first person that the charity water workers saw when they entered the village of Sakiti. 195 members of the community were standing there waiting to greet these community workers, and they were all excited. But this woman had a grin from ear to ear. And they couldn't figure it out. Why is she so happy? She lives in this poor village. But they got her story. She was 42 years old with 6 children. And for all of her 42 years, she'd had to get water from the river outside of the village. It's all she'd ever known. Every day was the same. Wake up the kids, go collect the water, bathe and feed the children with that filthy river water, send them off to school, collect more water because they were going to come home. This was her day. Water, kids, water, farming, livestock, water, laundry, water, dinner, water, bedtime, and every one of those water, 7 trips a day to the river, back and forth. On the way, carrying an empty bucket, but on the way back, a very heavy bucket filled with water. This is hard. No one should have to do that kind of work in this day and age. But they couldn't figure it out when she told them that story. Why are you so happy? She said, wait, that's not the end of the story. Her name, Mulatani, means what will you do with it? And she said, every morning I got up and I said to myself, no matter what, I have a day in front of me, what will I do with it? And she chose to be joyful. But one day, she and her village heard that there was a drilling rig coming into their region. But it couldn't reach their little village because there was a deep ravine and the rig couldn't get there. So each family in the village sent one person to fill in that ravine by hand. And in October of 2013, the drilling rig drove across that filled-in ravine, and an aquifer gave them clean water. And everyone rushed out to dance and sing. So they said to her, all right, Mulatani, your name means what will you do with it? You now have clean water. What will you do with it? And she said with joy in her voice, I will take care of it like I care for a new baby. I will care for it like a new baby. Do we care for our Michigan water like it's a new baby? Abundant water quenching the thirst of the wild animals is what we read about in our scriptures. But we don't always see that. We sometimes are a nation that's turned to God dreams and silly God schemes. forgetting in faithfulness that we're supposed to be living water, physical water. We're supposed to do what we can for one another. And in Matthew, Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. So if we're giving somebody in Kenya a drink through our one great hour of sharing dollars, we're giving Jesus a drink as well. So like the woman at the well, we can tell others, there is hope. There is living water, and that they're included in this living water. The cup is for them. But that good news doesn't put water in their cooking pot. So us buying local produce might make a difference. Us donating to Detroit's water project might make a difference to the family that can go into the kitchen and turn on the tap. Our giving to one great hour of sharing might make a difference. There are so many ways in the world today that we are disrespectful of our earth. I could talk for 10 minutes about fracking and how that's poisoning our waters here. Please see me afterwards. There's a new group getting together, because in New York, the churches urge the legislature to ban fracking in the state. And we've got an effort going on here in conjunction with the Disciples of Christ to do the same thing. But every day in your own home, turn the faucet to a slow stream when you wash the dishes. I live with a man who would rinse the dishes with a drip if he thought he could get away with it. Take shorter showers or shower with a friend. Stop drinking bottled water. Not only because the plastic bottles are bad news, but that water is mined typically in very water-poor areas. Get a bottle and refill it. When you brush your teeth, turn off the water. You don't need that water running while you're up here doing this. So these are little things. But what I want you to do this week is every time you turn on your tap to make coffee, wash dishes, cook spaghetti, look at that water coming out of your tap and think, living water. Jesus offered living water to the Samaritan woman, somebody he wouldn't normally mingle with. How can we offer living water, physical water, environmental care to maybe people we wouldn't normally have the opportunity to mingle with? And pray with gratitude that you've got clean water. Think of all the Mulatanis in the world raising their children without. Treat water like you would treat a new baby. My prayer this week would be that we're all moved to see water differently, as a living fountain flowing from Christ to us, connecting all of us. And in response to that vision of us all being connected, that we promise to become living water bubbling up for others. And may it be so.